The rest of the story. Arthur Johnson loved women, but too many at once. A ladies' man was the nicest thing that you could have called Arthur. And yet admiring male co-workers would often gather to gossip in half whispers and suppressed snickers about Arthur's romantic exploits. One office joke had it that there were so many girlfriends in Arthur's life that often he couldn't remember their names. And worse, sometimes he would apply the right name to the wrong woman. Unfortunately, for these women at least, the joke was not only humorous, but entirely true. Arthur Johnson just loved women, but none exclusively until Mona. Now, Mona is, well, she is the rest of the story. At first, nobody would believe that Arthur had settled down. What was so special about this time, friends asked. Well, this much was certain. Whereas Arthur had consistently sought to separate business and pleasure in the past, had never invited the girls he dated into his professional life, he was now beginning to introduce Mona to office associates, even to his employer. The latter had never quite understood Arthur, nor how anybody could find fulfillment in a cacophony of superficial relationships. So the employer, a true romantic by his own estimation, was much pleased with this opportunity to encourage true romance in Arthur Johnson's life. And so it was that the boss took Arthur and Mona out to dinner. And there was the usual small talk over dinner. The meandering conversation eventually found its way to music. It was incredible, said Arthur, the amount of money that could be earned by one hit song. Mona became dreamy. Wouldn't it be wonderful, she mused, to have a song written about you? Well, why not right now, said Arthur's employer. And with that, he leaned back in his chair and he began humming a little tune, simple, lilting, haunting little melody that had emerged from his mind at the moment. And then, smiling, he gave it a title. And that was Mona's own song. Mona's own special song, he said. And Mona, blushing, smiled back at him. Arthur, meanwhile, was busy scribbling the title and the notes of the tune on a napkin. Mona was now immortal, he declared. Quite, in fact, every detail of her life thenceforth has tumbled into the bottomless pit of anonymity. Even her name, except for here and now, has been forgotten. Arthur's employer found the napkin in a drawer many years later, and gazing at the words and the annotation, he could not recall for the life of him why they were written, nor even the identity of the girl in the title. But when he, Arthur's boss, did himself fall in love with a girl whose name was definitely not Mona, the little tune worked its magic, nevertheless, cementing a lifelong romance for Ellen. Ellen and Irving Berlin. And you see, not only did Berlin dedicate that song to his wife Ellen, but he assigned her its copyright and its royalties forever. Of course, the great songwriter and one-time matchmaker had to alter the tune's title to accommodate his own forever affair and to accommodate your lifetime love and mine. And that is how a song that once began, I'll be loving you, Mona, now and ever after begins, I'll be loving you, always. Now you know the rest of the story.